All right, I want to talk to you about the body of Christ. And by the way, if you want to text me, that's the number to text, 334-669-0920. You got another text. Let me just see what it is before we get started. No, we got it. All right, good. We got both of those. All right, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12. So the Great Commission... Gesundheit. Who sneezed that? That was quite a sneeze. Was that you? You're allergic from being away from the baby already. Well, that was good. This is the church. The body. And it's not under the Great Commission of Matthew 28. It's not commissioned to do the same work. Before I read in 1 Corinthians 12, go to Ephesians chapter 3. People always ask me, what is the commission to the church? What? You're just having a good time over there, aren't you?
Well, I knew the answer, sir.
Oh, you were given the answer.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Got it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, our commission is to make... Well, I'm going to start in verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you search out in Matthew... Mark, Luke, and John, and find the unsearchable riches of Christ?
No.
Can you find it in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi?
No.
That's, if it did, it would be searchable. This is what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. And what are we supposed to do? Verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So... Over here, this is all prophecy over here. This is Acts chapter 9, by the way. And all of this, from Acts chapter 9 back to Genesis, has to do with a prophetic program that is searchable. But we're to make men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which, you know, is the whole part of the body of Christ. The duty is also different. During Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus Christ is preparing 12 nations. Not a nation. Here, let me. I got it. 12 tribes to go through the tribulation period. All right? And to have life everlasting. The church... Not one time in 13 books does Paul, your apostle, your teacher, your preacher, not one time does he prepare you to go through that kingdom. Now, wouldn't that be weird if he was the teacher and preacher to the apostle of the Gentiles and he was preaching the same commission as in Matthew 28 that the 12 preached and not tell you one thing to do and to observe whatever Jesus taught you? Wouldn't that be a little weird? I mean, writes half the New Testament, yet doesn't give you the information to get you through the tribulation period. You know why? He's not preparing a church to go through the tribulation period. Look in Romans chapter 5. That's all they're doing back there. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's preparing those 12 tribes to get through that tribulation period and how to do that. But he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, and you're going to have to turn with me quickly. It's a great crowd this morning. I appreciate y'all coming in on a rainy day. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, everybody, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Are we going to go through wrath? No, probably not. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says this, and to wait for His Son from heaven, and I would put 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. You got it? To wait for His Son from heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4. Did you write that in your Bible? Okay. Now watch. To wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, everybody, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Are we going to go through the wrath to come? No way. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God, everybody, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well then, we're not appointed to this tribulation, and there is no preparation that Paul has to do in order to get the body to the judgment seat of Christ. And so he's preparing a church for that work, where Jesus Christ is preparing the 12 for this work. It's the same Lord, the same Savior, the same Jesus, the same God and everything. But this God is instructing 12 men to prepare 12 tribes to get through the tribulation. He chose this one man to prepare the body. And so body truth and kingdom truth are two different truths. And that's the division that you need to understand and bear in mind to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now, remember that we're going to be judged based upon our what? Our work. Not works. The work. What is the work? To make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery is. You all understand? The work is that. That is our profound common element that we're all supposed to do, is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doesn't do anything to uniting those people in the mystery. It wasn't even then. There was no way that you could build upon that foundation. That's why Paul says, I'm a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. And a man has to learn how to what? Build thereupon. You see, Paul's preparing a church for a different function. Go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read with me, if you will, in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. I am so glad you're here, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Well, that's not how they get into this church over here. In fact, if they do a list of things over here, they're not guaranteed that they're in the church. Look at the difference between Paul. You say, well, you know, we're talking about the church. Well, look at this. Go get 1 Corinthians 15, it's just a page away. And go to Acts chapter 2. I was going to go to Acts chapter 2, and I thought, well, might as well grab that page while we're there. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to Joni Humphreys. I hadn't seen her in 33 years. Look me up on Facebook. She's supposed to be watching. I hope you're watching. And we're glad you tuned in and was excited about the program. We've had numerous people say they would like to watch the program. And very, very exciting. All right, Acts chapter 2. Now tell me if you think that Peter thinks in his mind that this church is saved. Look at verse 47, Acts 2. Verse 47, the Apostle Peter now is preaching, praising God, having favor with all the people. By the way, who's the people? Israel. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see that? Boy, that's vastly different than what the Apostle Paul taught. You can't show what the fellowship and the mystery is if you don't know that you're even saved. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Hold on to here. We're going to turn right back. Acts chapter 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now watch. Verse 2 is the one I want, but I'm just going to read down. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. Do you see the difference between Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and 1 Corinthians 15? One said what? Such as should be saved. The other one says, by which also ye are saved. And the reason that's very, very important is the thing. Now, they both taught the death, burial, and resurrection. You all understand that. But Paul saw a mystery in that that Peter never, ever saw. And that was about the sins. In fact, look at how Peter looked at the sins. Go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Are your sins may be blotted out?
No.
No, our sins have been blotted out. They're gone. But look at what he says. That your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to Zechariah 13, verse 1, there is a fountain open. And that fountain is not for you. That fountain is for Israel. Turn to Zechariah 13. That whole passage is should be saved. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Well, how can you teach that doctrine and also at the same time teach that your sins have been done away? You know what? Listen, God isn't dealing with your sins anymore. Amen. God's not imputing your trespasses onto you. God's not laying it to your charge. Bless God, 2,000 years ago, He put it on Jesus Christ's charge. And sin is not an issue in this room today. You say, well, I'm sinning. Yeah, He knew about it and paid for it. You guys are almost getting Pentecostal on me. Huh? Oh, yeah, there is such thing as bad work. That's true. Where did I tell you? Well, I guess I ought to turn there. I'm up here drinking a little, just taking a breath. You know, I'm working extra hard today. I don't know what they said, but I hope you got that on tape. I'm going to go back and listen to it.
They didn't say it loud enough.
No. All right, Zechariah 13. By the way, what do you need by Zechariah 13, verse 1? You need Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And, you know, if I was real smart Bible student, I would probably put up Romans 11, 26 and 27. Yeah, I mean, if I was a Bible student, I'd have those notes there. Look at George. He's like, I got them now, buddy. Romans 11, verse 20. Well, really, 25 through 27, the whole passage we're going to read there. In that day, there shall be a fountain open for the house of David. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. You know that song? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. That is not true for you. That fountain has already flowed. Your sins are under the cross, gone. But for them, it's still a future tense. So how do you teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the church, the body, when the salvation is at two different aspects? One's at the second coming. The other one is the moment you trust Christ. It's already been done. Y'all understand? You can't prepare someone by teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as if they're going to go through the tribulation when the church is not even appointed unto wrath. See, you can't do both. Yes, Kevin?
Well, isn't this part of the mystery that was been hidden in God?
It is. This is the mystery. And what is our job? What is the commission to the church? See, what is the fellowship of the mystery? How many churches do you think get the fellowship of the mystery? Zero, nada, zilch, very few. Now, in Central Alabama, we have a few grace preachers that are preaching some of this truth. But let me tell you, we're unusual. Most cases, there's a long distance between. The point that I'm saying is we've got to be teaching the church commission, not the Great Commission. Does that make sense? Is the Great Commission important?
Yes.
Yes, but it's not important for you. For you to learn from, but not for you to do. And so churches go and they start doing the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, teaching them. Well, they're not even doing it. They're not selling out. They're not, they're passing the plate when he says not to do your alms before men. Amen? How many were freaked out when they first came here and this is the only church they've ever been to that never passed the plate? Raise your hand. You know, listen, we want you to get the Word of God, guys. How many has ever been to a Bible conference that they couldn't afford to go and the conference provides the rooms? Yeah. Only here, isn't it? It's, you know what? All those other people just after your money. Don't you get it? Why? They use the Great Commission to burden you and to put a yoke on your neck and to control you and to bring you down and make you a slave to the church. Hey, folks, we're all equal here. There ain't any big I and little you. I mean, Bill Brown could get up here and do a better job than I could. Can you? Well, eventually he will be able to. And I hope soon so I can retire. Do you all understand? The teaching of the nation is to prepare them to go through the tribulation. That is the Great Commission. But the teaching to the church is to prepare the church for the catching out. There are two different teaching. One's based upon a mystery. The other one based upon prophecy. One says you might be or should be saved. The other one says you are saved. One says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Well, look what Paul says about that. Go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. See, there is a huge, vastly different. See, why are there 12 different baptisms in the Bible? Because they all function different for under different rules. But how many to the church, the body of Christ? One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Well, why does Peter preach in the Great Commission water and the Holy Spirit? That's two. Why? It's a different need, a different time. You know, I mean, this thing just keeps getting wilder and wilder as you start to understand what's really going on in the Bible. And my job as a Bible teacher is to make sure you know what is the fellowship of the mystery. Yeah, you understand the whole aspect of that thing. Can I take a breath?
Yeah.
Thanks. That was some pretty good preaching, even if I say so myself, huh? You're taking... It's okay to do that occasionally when no one else will do it. Saying I'm patting myself on the back. Look, you know, it's hard. It humbles me to have to take on the entire religious system with half my brain tied behind my back. It is difficult. But I am up to the challenge. Colossians chapter 2. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, everybody, having forgiven you all trespasses. Is he going to forgive you? Maybe at some fountain?
No.
It's a done deal. We're not running. See, the Great Commission is telling you you're looking forward toward salvation, toward that fount opening, for that day when the Lord comes back. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is teaching. And if you go to a church that teaches Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is going to happen to you? You're not going to see the mystery which was given to you. By who? Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you exalt Paul. Peter's pretty much the main guy back here. The same Jesus who called the 12, the same Jesus called Paul. But he gave them two different commissions. If they weren't teaching the same commission, would there have been any need or reason for the Apostle Paul?
No, no reason.
There would be absolutely no reason. No, he didn't fill the requirements. There would be no need or no necessity for Paul to even be in the Bible, and yet Paul had written over half the New Testament. You know, an intelligent person should be sitting back going, "What? Well, that is kind of weird." I mean, if they're preaching and they got 12 men and there's 12 tribes and there's 12 thrones and there's 12 gates and there's 12 prophetic months, why would we need the 13th apostle? Say, well, they're teaching the same doctrine, that Paul and Peter believe the same thing. Well, one says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, and the other one says you are saved. Does that sound the same to you?
No.
So why is it that people want to mix it? Because they want to have their cake and their pie and eat it too. What? It is a lot for filthy liquor. It is a lot.
Persecution.
Guys, listen to me. The whole exciting part of this church, the thing that you ought to be grasping, is that we're not teaching the Great Commission to you anymore. We're teaching you the commission that was given to and through the Apostle Paul for the church, the body of Christ. That's fascinating to me. That is. I mean, it just, this thing gets to going with me, and I start to think that even intelligent people are idiots. Doesn't matter how much education you are, you can be an idiot. Amen. Bill's going, thank God. Some of us don't. Hey, listen, you know what? God chose the foolishness.
That's right.
The abasings. The bringing the things that are mighty down. I mean, I'm not up here as a haughty kind of guy. Listen, let me tell you what. I want you to go to 1 John 1 verse 9. Now, how many times have you heard this connected with the church? Over and over. And say, well, yeah, but we know better. You know, we... No, you don't. You know why? Because you asked forgiveness. How many years asked? Be honest. I want your honest heart right here today. How many at one time asked the Lord continually to forgive them?
Amen.
You know why you did? Because you didn't think they were all paid for. Are you listening to me? You did it because they put a burden on you that had to do with a kingdom message, and you just did, like lemmings do, exactly what they told you to do. And this is what they told you to do. If we confess our sins, you can read with me, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Well, what happens if we don't forgive our sins? I mean, if we don't confess them, He won't forgive them. Well, we just read in 1 Thessalonians, having forgiven you all trespasses. Well, which one is it? See, you can't do Colossians and 1 John at the same time. One's under the Great Commission. The other is under the fellowship of the mystery. One has to do with 12 apostles. The other one has to do with one apostle teaching the body of Christ.
That's right.
One's Jewish and one's Gentile. One's prophecy, one's mystery. I mean, the thing just keeps going. But not only that, notice a couple things. In 1 John, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, if that is true, if that is true, then it won't be any problem. Jim, would you stand up, please? You have the Holy Spirit? You do, don't you? According to the passage, if this is true, you know what Ezra 1 verse 5 says. Don't look it up, just tell me.
Absolutely not.
You see, I mean, the passage under the kingdom message says, hey, you don't have to take any thought. It's going to be given to you the very same hour, Matthew chapter 10, that's what he said. He said, you take this and you teach it and observe it and do it. And guess what? People say, well, I believe in 1 John 1, 9, but bless God, you don't believe in 1 John 2, verse 20.
That's right.
If I asked you to show me a verse in Genesis, someone quote me Genesis 17:34. Well, you're supposed to know all things. Either that verse is a lie, or it isn't written to you, or you're lost. You want me to try that again? Either that verse wasn't written to you. If it was written to you and you don't know, guess what that means? You see the problem? I mean, that is a way of a scale that you can tell. Well, does this guy really know what he's talking about? Let me test him. In fact, look what it says in 1 John 4. It says, well, you're trying to tempt the Lord, dear God. You've got to get your attitude straight. You're a little bit bent out of shape. You're kind of in people's mind. Well, watch this. He says, 1 John 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. But do what? Try the spirit, whether they be of God. Well, how do we do that? Verse 20, if you have an unction from the Holy One, you know what?
All things.
Well, I can test that. George, you got the Holy Spirit, brother?
Absolutely.
If this is written to you, then you won't have any problems quoting me Genesis 25:1.
That all comes my head. Sorry.
But you don't have to worry about it being in your head because the unction one, the Holy One, is going to let you know.
But just knowing that that's not written to me is all I need to know.
Either it isn't written to you, or he's lost. And I can test any preacher, anybody that believed in 1 John 1:9, by the same passage, and if they couldn't do it, then I know that they don't have the unction one.
That's right.
Or we have to rightly divide the book.
That's right.
Say, well, I love all the books. All the books are precious to me. Yeah, but you don't do all the books.
That's right.
You know what Jesus Christ told me to do if I looked at a woman and lust after her?
Look out there.
Now, I can assure you that Bill Brown would be blind as a bat. And Wayne? Wayne would be the biggest blind fat guy we know. No. Terry would be the skinniest one we know. They'd be walking around like this. Y'all understand? Because you know what? We're guilty of that. And he told you to pluck out your eyes if you... Well, you know, come on, boys and girls. Now, hang on. Verse 27. 2:27, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. You know, if I believe 1 John 1:9 was for the church, I wouldn't be up here teaching you. We appreciate the Miller family listening in. They send their encouragement from Georgia as we listen online. We appreciate you listening. Do you all understand? You know, why would a church that believed in the Great Commission, and by the way, you know what verse I would have right there? Matthew chapter 10.
19.
Who said that? Gene, you're jumping right in there. You and Larry need to sit next to each other. I think y'all are meant for one another. That's right. You should have Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. You know what he says? Take no thought for what you shall speak, for it will be given to you that same hour. Hey, you won't even have to... Hey, listen, guys, under the Great Commission, you don't have to read the Bible. It would just come down to you. You know what Paul says? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need. You also need then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and 2, verse 15. Right there. Y'all understand? I mean, why? I mean, you're saying all the Bible's the same. Why is one place they're telling you you shouldn't have any teachers? And then the Apostle Paul for 13 books tells you that you have preachers and teachers. That you need to teach faithful men who shall be able to do what? How many here are starting to get where they can teach? There's a few in here. What am I doing? I'm teaching faithful men who shall be able to do what? Well, according to 1 John, we don't need to have none of these teaching sessions. You'd be as smart as me from the very get-go. I can assure you that won't take long either way. Yeah, I know as much as Barry. Well, that took long. About 2 minutes, you got all that I have. You know, come on. I mean, really. So let's go back and look at 2 Timothy. You did say 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy, right? Yeah, that's where. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. By the way, 2 Timothy 2:2 is my signature verse. You ought to get yourself a signature verse, whatever you feel like God. This is, huh?
Be strong.
No, that's verse 1. 2 Timothy 2:1 is what you're quoting. Which is, I'm going to read it too. But thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the thing that thou hast heard of me. That isn't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's Romans 2, Philemon. You need to write that in your Bible. The things that thou hast heard of me, Romans 2, Philemon, among many witnesses, same commit thou the faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said that you have no need for men to teach you. Over there in 1 John 2, verse 27. Well, how can you do the Great Commission when Jesus Christ told them not to take any thought for what you should speak? And he reiterates it in 1 John 2, verse 27. The Great Commission and the body of Christ have to be separated. The truths have to be separated. Some are body truths. Some are prophecy truths. Some are kingdom truths. Some are body truths. You all understand? There's got to be a separation of the doctrine of the church. Otherwise, guess what Christians are going to do? Walk around crazy. Well, am I supposed to endure unto the end or am I saved? How many's asked that question? I mean, come on, before you got saved, you go, I'm not sure what I have to do to be saved. What is it that I had to do? I mean, I can tell you, Deborah Ewan told me she went through church confused. What to do? What do they want me to do? You know what? I believe she'd have done anything to be saved. She wanted to be saved. She got to the point, tell me if this is not true. If it's true, say amen. She said, I just didn't think I was one of those people that could ever get saved. You don't think they're confusing them? How is that not confusion? Do I study or do I not? Do I wait on the Holy Spirit or I do not? I mean, you can't do. He said whatever Jesus Christ taught them, that teach, do, and observe. And do, observe and do. Well, he told them not to take any thought in Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Reiterates it in 1 John 2. Y'all understand? But look at what he said. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You don't have to come up with something new when you're behind this pulpit. You know, when you're behind this pulpit, you could teach on simple little things. I watch young preachers come along. I did the same thing. You know, it's kind of like doing a field. Brother Har told me, preaching is like clearing a field. And I said, what do you mean? Oh, he says you'll get those young bucks, and instead of going after the small little rocks they can handle to clear out of the field, they'll go for the big ones. So somebody said, look at that young fellow. He's really working at it. You know what? The idea is to clear the field, not to impress somebody with you. The job isn't about you. Look how great I know. You know what? Everything I know, I've learned from another man. You know why? He taught me faithfully what he knew and hoped that I would keep it true and teach it faithfully on down. That's hard. You know why? Pride enters in. We want to be the hotshot preacher. I know because I've been there. I don't want to be the hotshot preacher anymore. I just want to be a man of God to teach Bill and Wayne, Terry, William. the men of God in here that will listen to me. I'm not trying to do anything to impress you with me. Ain't anything about me that's impressive. But the truth I'm sharing with you, another man took his time, 55 years of his life, to teach me this stuff. And I appreciate it. You all understand, there have been men that have given their lives so that you could just have a grasp of truth. If you understood what some of these men had to put up with in their lives, just so that you could have the truth. It's hard to find the basket. Look, if you have any problem finding the basket, I'll tell you where it is. Listen, we don't have to beg for money. We don't have to do all that garbage. Well, we need are faithful people. Amen?
Amen?
Just let them be faithful. Dude. Grown up. Grow up. Be the man of God God wants you to be. That's what I want you to be. 2 Timothy 2:15. Then he says, well, let me read verse 7 first. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding in what?
All things.
Well, he said, if you had the unction, you'd know all things. That's 1 John 2, verse 20. I would definitely put that outside that one, huh? Wouldn't you? 1 John 2, verse 20. He said, if you have the unction, you what? Know all things. What did Paul just tell you to do? Study. Consider what I say. And the Lord will give the understanding. What happens if you don't consider it? You ain't going to get it. And then it's going to come magical to you. Boop. Oh, look how smart I am. That's not the way it's going to be. You know what I told Tony to do the other day? What did I tell you to do?
Read the Bible. Get rid of all the other books.
Listen. If you don't understand the book because it's the book of God, then nothing you're going to read is going to lead you to it. Boy, there was a Baptist preacher that just got into rightly dividing up at the conference. And he said, when I didn't know how to answer somebody, I'd run to the commentaries to find the answer. And that's what they do because those men are smart. They would obviously know. But you know, they didn't know. And when he started learning right division, then he realized that they didn't know either. And they were writing books after books after books. I mean, if they had really believed the Great Commission, and many of them think they're under the Great Commission, they wouldn't have written a book one. Why? You didn't need teachers. Isn't that weird? The ones that say they believe the Great Commission don't even believe it. They're hypocrites. I preached on the King James Bible being the Word of God. And I know I ran long and I was embarrassed about that, really, honestly, because I believe you ought to respect people's time. But you know what? The reality is it's not believing the King James Bible is the Word of God. It's believing what is written in the King James Bible that makes the difference.
And what's different in that version versus the other version?
Yeah, but I mean, just taking the Bible. And I know Peter Ruckman believes the King James Bible is the Word of God, but he doesn't believe what's written in the Bible. There are many of these guys back here that defend the King James Bible, but they won't believe what's written in the Bible. See, I believe the King James Bible is the inerrant Word of God, but bless God, I believe you need to believe what's in that book. Just like these readings. He said in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Study. He didn't tell them to study over there. Which doctrine would you go by? Would you go by that which is given to Israel? Or would you go to the church, which is the instructor and the teacher, the preacher and the apostle to the Gentile? It is who?
Paul.
Oh, Paul. Who's your preacher, teacher, and apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
Paul. And what he said was uniquely different. And so your job as Christians, your job when you go home, when your job when you talk to your loved ones, when you talk to your neighbor on your right cubicle and your left cubicle, when you talk across the hall to somebody, you take your Bible and you sit down, you're to show them the difference between the gospel that is under the Great Commission and the gospel which is to the church, the body of Christ, the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That no matter what you've done, all your sins have been paid for from the top to the bottom. Sin is not the issue. Do you know what? It is an issue over here. It is. Sin is still an issue. Go back to 1 John, and we're going to end, I guess, here today. Oh, man, I wish... You know what I really desire? You want to know my heart's desire? No, probably not, but my heart's desire is to find the words that will cause people to believe the book. That's all I want in my life. I really don't want to be the best-looking guy, the skinniest guy. I want to be the guy that was said, he searched out acceptable words. So that they might believe. That they might grow in grace. I'm so glad Debbie's here. Because it's hearing these words, doesn't it reiterate? I mean, Gene, haven't you grown since you've been here? William, how about you? Grown since you've been here? Matt? It's about that growth process. People say, I want Christian growth. Christian growth isn't praying and holding hands and going through. No, no. Christian growth is knowing the difference between the two programs and being able to explain it. That's true Christian growth. And that you don't need the preacher to sit down with somebody and show them. You've got the stuff. He said in 1 John 3, verse 9, he said this, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Sin's still an issue there, isn't it? You know what God said in 2 Corinthians 5? That He's not imputing you your trespasses. The Bible said, for He, God, made Him, that is Christ, to be sin for you. But over here, sin's still an issue. For His seed remaineth in Him, and He cannot sin because He is born of God. Well, I sin every day, guys. But that sin is not imputed to me. Thank God. I thank God every day for that. I see some of these people thinking, well, I've really conquered sin. Really? What, are you crazy? I mean, you know, if you're really halfway honest with yourself, don't we desire the dumbest things? How many here, let me take a survey. How many here have been studying the Word of God and a naughty thought comes into their mind just out of the blue? I'm like, what in the world? Oh, yeah, when you're praying. Okay, I'm going to concentrate on prayer. Where in the world did that come from? You know, Paul tells you to bring every thought into captivity.
That's right.
You ever tried? You ever tried that? Just try that. Try it for a week. Bring every thought into captivity. Man, I thank God for grace.
Amen.
There is a difference between the Great Commission and the dispensation of grace. Over here, led by 12 men, Jesus Christ called these 12 men, just like He called the one man over here. This man said, hey, you don't have to teach anybody. Take up your alms up before men. It says not to pray out loud. Don't they encourage prayer everywhere? In front of everyone? Has anybody ever been told to go into a prayer closet and that's where you should do prayer only?
Nope.
Debbie has. She said, that's good. I mean, if you're going to teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that would be the right doctrine. Is that true for the church?
Nope.
You know, Paul says, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Continue in prayer. You know what? My life is full of prayer. Driving down the road the other day, saw a bad accident, started praying for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Got a call, somebody sick, prayed for them. You mean while you drove? Yes, I did. Did you close your eyes? No, I didn't. And the guy next to me was appreciative of that. Here, I think I'm just going to shut down and drive blind. Lord... So So I don't make a big deal of prayer in our church service. Not that we don't want to pray. We do want to pray for people. And those people that we talk about, we want to pray for. But you know what? We're not to repeat the same prayers over and over and over and over again. Use vain repetition. You know what Paul says? Paul says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. Well, that's me. I can't figure. Who's got it figured out? Would anybody like to come and tell me what it's all about? I'd like to know. I mean, I'm crying most of the time. Lord, help. Lord, I need you now. I've screwed this thing up. You know, I really appreciate the people watching on the internet. But you know, more than that, I appreciate the men of God in this room. I mean, think about what we're doing. We have the Millers over in Georgia watching. We've got my friends in South Carolina watching, Joni. We've got Mary and Bill in Tennessee. We got the Bakers and the Simpsons and all of that group over in Houston, Houston and Dallas. Huh? Bobby Harris up in D.C. People out in California. And you know what it's been from? It's been from a bunch of faithful men who have committed themselves to the cause, to the core cause of getting the Word of God out. That's going to come to your reward when it comes time. I thank God for the men and women of this church. And I don't put the women down. But my job is to teach faithful men and teach others. You know what the jobs of the men are? Teach their wives at home. And you know, if you don't have a husband, then I'm your teacher. I'm your man, Gene. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Debbie, you hear me? I'm the guy you come to. Do you know what? If you got a man, that man ought to be studying to wash you in the Word until it's such a degree that you're without spot or wrinkle. And that's what it's all about. Study to show yourself approved. The unction isn't going to fly on you. You're not going to have some spoil of the Word in your mind. Just, ooh. You know, you're not going to be walking out in the woods just, you know. Lord, was that you? Not going to be that at all. You know what it's going to be? Lord, give me the answer. Why can't I get this, Lord? Where is it in this Bible? Let me search it out. You see the difference? And that's what pleases me the greatest about the people of this church right here. I love you guys. Thank you for watching.